Welcome to the Killer Frogs College Football Podcast, a Fan Nation show brought to you weekly by KillerFrogs.com. I am Brett Gibbons, and I'm once again joined by Tori Couch. Tori, thanks for coming back again, and still talking about some TCU football. How are you?
I'm good. Last 2 weeks have been interesting, but that's what we're here to talk about.
Interesting is a nice way to put it. Yeah, I'm with you. We're going to talk about the last couple of games briefly off the top here, but we're also here to preview week 7 against BYU. Fascinating matchup, I think. Really fun matchup. We'll dive into all that. But before we get into that game, I would like to start with the takeaways from the last two games. I'm not the only one pressing the panic button. What level of panic are you at, if at all?
I'm starting to hit the panic button just a little bit. Defense hasn't been terrible. You know what? The more you're on the field, the more tired you're going to get. You're going to give up points and stuff. So I felt like the defense has been playing pretty well. Special teams, I have a lot of questions there. It looked like they kind of had things figured out after the Houston game, and then you give up two blocked field goals against West Virginia, blocked punt. Like, it just, something's off with special teams. And then, of course, offense, Chandler Morris goes down with an MCL injury. So now you have Josh Hoover stepping in, and that's where I think I'm starting to hit the panic button just a little bit, because he's not played a lot of meaningful snaps. And so it's an unknown. You don't know how what he did in high school is going to translate.
Sure. I have a question on here about, you know, what kind of drop off you believe there is from Chandler Morris to Josh Hoover, but it kind of sounds like you're maybe on the fence about it. You're not entirely sure, and you'd like to see more of him in collegiate action.
I think there's going to be a drop off. I don't see how there's not. Now, that being said, teams can catch lightning in a bottle and things go great. That first game with a new quarterback, we saw that in 21 with Chandler Morris, but that's not something I'm going to count on. I think there's going to be a drop off, because when you have a new quarterback who hasn't played with the first team, hasn't been practicing with them, receivers are going to drop balls because they're not used to that speed or that delivery angle or whatever it might be from the quarterback. I watched some of those highlights from the Iowa State game of Hoover, and he did a nice job in the pocket, dancing around, moving athletically, throwing on the run, things like that. But he had a lot of first read throws. Teams are going to try and figure out ways to take that away. So how quickly can he read through his progressions and not just hook onto his first read and things like that? I think it's going to show how much this offense can do. So I do think there's going to be a drop off. How much, I don't know, but I do think there's going to be a drop off.
And the special teams is a genuine concern. You have a preseason all Big 12, maybe even borderline all American caliber, or so we thought, player in Griffin Callen. It's not, I think the misses have a lot to do with the fact that he's had multiple kicks blocked, and now that's in your head. And just mm-hmm. like a baseball player, when you are a golfer, when you get in your own head as a kicker, it's tough. It's a very, very tough thing. We saw, Brett Maher last year when the Cowboys missed like 6 extra points in a row or something in the playoffs. It's that kind of mentality that, like, once you get rattled, it's really hard to turn around and change from that. And the thing I think I'm most concerned about is, even after the games have played out and looking at the final scores and having watched the games front to back, those are still two games TCU should have won. Even the level that they played, those were games that were winnable, that TCU mm-hmm. had the ability to win, and they just didn't. They look really undisciplined. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about it before we hit record here, that the penalties are bad. It's just they're hurting themselves. They're currently beating themselves. And when you look at, you know, point spreads and stuff, TCU's been favored in every game. They've been favored by 12 points against West Virginia and 21 points, God forbid, against Colorado, and they lost both those games outright. And that, to me, is concerning, that there is so much regression. I knew that there would be regression. You lose the entire core of your national championship runner-up team. I think I'm surprised by how much regression there's been. What say you on that front?
Yeah, I kind of agree that the regression has been as much as it has been so far this season. Kind of like I talked about earlier, defense has looked pretty solid. They didn't have a huge step back. The first game, there was a little bit of confusion, but that seems to have worked itself out. Offense is where I expected some regression. it's hard because they lost a ton of NFL-level receivers, and you have Max Duggan, who is such an incredible leader. And I think that's one thing I've noticed that this team hasn't quite found yet is that emotional leader. Now, not to say it's going to look exactly like what Max Duggan was last season, but you have to have somebody who's going to step up and say, I'm leading this team. I'm going to be that emotional person. And I just don't think this team necessarily has found that person. And I think that's part of why there's this regression, because both West Virginia and Iowa State, the third quarters were ugly on offense, absolutely ugly. And so that says a lot about, I think it says a lot about what's going on in the locker room at halftime, adjustment wise, and also just how are the players, where's their mindset at and things like that. So that for me has been the biggest reason in my mind for the regression, is there's just not a leader that's just kind of stepped forward.
And that's a genuine concern moving forward, because guys, I know TCU's 3-3, but they just walked through the easiest part of their schedule. After BYU, we have at Kansas State, then a bye week at Texas Tech on a Thursday night in Lubbock. That's never easy. Then Texas Baylor. I know Baylor's down in the NAT, Oklahoma. I mean, the toughest is yet to come. And I worry about, I still have that 2021 team burned in my mind, and specifically the effort that I saw against West Virginia, or the lack thereof. And that was when Patterson had lost the locker room, and there was not a lot of buy-in from those players. And I worry, you know, it's not going to be the point, like, Sonny Dykes isn't getting fired. Like, don't hear what I'm not saying. But when you lose the locker room, you also lose the effort. And I'm worried big time about maybe the last four or five games on the docket about maybe a drop-off in effort. I'm speculating, but there's not much reason to be super confident in your coaching staff at the moment. And I think that's just kind of where my head's at least about this team. Okay. Let's preview a game here. Let's be a little bit more optimistic and talk about this upcoming game. TCU in week 7 hosts BYU, a 4-1 BYU, mind you, 1-1 in conference, their lone loss coming to Kansas so far. These two teams have not played since 2011, when both teams were also in the Mountain West. TCU leads the all-time series 6-5, and they've won the last four meetings. The first meetings in 87 and 88, the team split a home and home series, each home team winning those games. And I talked to our editor, Barry Lewis, before the season, and we talked about the newcomers into the Big 12. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think one of the more surprising, exciting rivalries to bud from this is? And he said, BYU-TCU, that there's a little bit of animosity between these two teams when they had their brief stint in the mid-2000s. So I'm interested to see that, if that does come back. Now, my biggest concern in the game is BYU's coming off their bye week. They played Friday in week 5, so they have a big rest advantage, even though TCU is at home. I would also say BYU, is overperforming expectations relative to their preseason. They beat Arkansas on the road. I know Arkansas is not that great, but, you know, the 4-1 on the season, you know, apologize for that. And then they lost to Kansas next week on the road. But they lost by, I think the margin was 14 points. They allowed two defensive touchdowns. So there is a lot to be excited about. What are your first initial thoughts and reactions about this BYU team?
They're going to surprise people, and they kind of have already this season. Like you mentioned, the win on the road at Arkansas, not a great SEC team, but it's an SEC win. Like, you can't deny that. And I know we're going to dive into the offense here a little bit, but their run game is not good. And I think that's something that, as the season progresses, if that doesn't fix itself, could prevent them from winning some games. Because I think this is a team that has potential to make some noise in the Big 12. Not to get to the Big 12 championship or anything like that, but win a handful of games, 4 or 5 games, you know, kind of have a good first season. So I think this is going to be a really good test for TCU, especially given kind of what's happened the last couple months, or excuse me, last couple games. But I think this is a good team with a lot of potential.
I agree. Surprising, but like I said, overperforming expectation. You said that they could be a surprise contender in the Big 12, maybe not for the championship, because right now, objectively, the Big 12 is Texas and Oklahoma and then everybody else. And it's a mess in between. Who's your third best team right now? Mm-hmm. Kansas? West Virginia? Like, who is that team?
Sure. Either one of them on any given Saturday. And that's when we've done our power rankings for the site, that's the thing that I'm just like, well, I know who the top two are and I know who's in my bottom four. The rest of it's just okay, how'd you play that week? And so I think that's just kind of what we're seeing right now. And that's why I think BYU has a chance to kind of finish in the top half of the conference.
Yeah, let's size up this BYU offense and how we think they may fare against TCU's defense here. Like you said, they're not a great running team. They're actually extremely inefficient. It's been a major issue for them all season. They're actually the second worst team in rushing efficiency in the nation. Only 2.4 yards per carry as a team on the year. Not great. Familiar face to those who are familiar with college football, who've been keeping up with the sport the past few years. Keaton Slovis is actually the quarterback here. He has been at USC and Pitt, had that breakout season as a freshman at USC. He's been pretty decent too. Not great, not lighting the world on fire, but he's thrown at least two touchdown passes in every game after week one. He's got 1,240 yards, 10 touchdowns, and three picks, but he is completing just 59% of his passes. So like I said, not lighting the world on fire by any stretch. The wide receiving core for BYU has been banged up all season. Actually, this was an issue last year too. I kind of have questions about their strength and conditioning team. It's not great. They deal with injuries a lot. Cody Epps, one of their starting wide receivers, they're hoping to get him back. He's been in and out of the lineup all year. Chase Roberts has been the go-to. Chase Roberts spent a ton of time injured last year as well. So, but it's good to see him there. He is the dominant wide receiver on this core. BYU, I think, overall is disciplined. They don't have a lot of penalty yards, and they don't have a lot of turnovers. And that, to me, is a little bit worrisome when you're dealing with TCU, who has just been a self-inflicted wound team all year long. Now, like you said, Chandler Morris is out. We know that. Whether he's out for the season, it TBD, doesn't sound like it, but multiple weeks. We won't see him for a little while. Who then needs to step up in Morris's absence other than Josh Hoover? Because that's the obvious, you know, he's literally stepping in to fill for him. But who else do you think on this offense needs to step up to help him out?
I'm going to look at the offensive line. They've had some great moments. They've opened up some good holes for Amani Bailey at the running back position, and they've done a decent job protecting Morris. But I think that's where I'm going to look first is, what is that pocket that Hoover is in? Is he having to run around a lot, or can he stand in the pocket, take time to make some throws? So I'm looking at that offensive line because I think that's going to dictate a lot of what the offense is able to do with a new quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, because we haven't seen a lot of Josh Hoover in collegiate action, I don't know how he'll fare under pressure, but just from a bias or a baseline knowledge that, like, new quarterbacks coming in, especially if they haven't even played at the Division I college level before, besides practice, when you get pressure on them, bad things happen. And I can't say that that'll be the case with Hoover. I don't know, but I don't think he's as capable and as mobile as Chandler Morris or even Max Duggan from last year. So yeah, I think I agree with you. I think we need to keep him clean here. Do you have any confidence behind Hoover in the quarterback room? Say, God forbid, he goes down with an injury, or like it's really just not working out. Is there anybody else that can even step in and play quarterback right now?
Looking at the depth chart, there's not a ton of things that inspire confidence there, just because if you look at the bios for most of the quarterbacks, it's snap or two here, snap or two there, first year in college, things like that. So there's not much experience behind him. So that, I don't have a ton of confidence in the quarterback room, but that's where you kind of have to trust the coaches, that they've recruited well enough to bring in guys who are going to come in and step up when those moments are needed. So I have pretty low confidence in the quarterback room right now, just because it's a lot of unknowns.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Chance Nolan would have been nice to have back there. Mm-hmm. It's a shame to see him not carry with the team. But yeah, I think I'm with you. But now there's no safety net. I don't know how much of a safety net Hoover is in general. Again, I'm trying to reserve judgment. From the very few snaps we've seen, there have been some lows. I don't think it's been all bad, but there's definitely been some lows that concern me, but I'd like to reserve my judgment, be reactionary rather than reactive. Yeah. So on the other side, TCU's offense, since we kind of slid into that anyway, without it against BYU's defense, look, my biggest question, of course, is how does the offense operate even around him with the new quarterback? How do they respond to adversity, especially coming off of back-to-back disappointing losses? In my opinion, it just needs to be better play calling offensively again. It's just been an issue. It's another game that has short yardage issues with play calling, like a full-on disaster. The short yardage situations have been all year. Case in point, Amani Bailey. I think he's been the best offensive weapon on TCU. He might even be the best player currently on TCU, or at least playing the best football on TCU. He had 21 rushes, 152 yards, and no touchdowns. And I'm like, how could that be? Go back and look. Oh, every time they get around the goal line or inside the 10-yard line, all of a sudden it's pass central, throwing up those awful goal line. I hate goal line fades. Good Lord. If you don't have a guy who's 6'5 on a guy who's 5'10, don't call them. It sets football back. But both scores for TCU against Iowa State were throws inside the 10-yard line. And that leads me to believe, question why? Bailey's going for 7.2 a carry. Why aren't you handing it off to him more? And I know that those are touchdowns and scores are good, but that's a trend to me. And that is a trend that when we get inside the red zone or the green zone, the 10-yard line is Briles loves to take the ball out of his running back's hands, out of his best player's hands, and throw it. Does he do that again this week? Seemed like it because he did it with Josh Hoover last week. That's my weekly mini tirade on the play calling. It has not improved. And also TCU as a team. This isn't all play calling's fault, but 4 combined interceptions against Iowa State. And BYU's defense, if all you remember from them is what you saw last year, I got news for you. They're significantly improved. They hired Weber State head coach Jay Hill as their defensive coordinator, and he's changed the scheme around. And BYU's gone from one of the handful, maybe the 2 or 3 worst defenses in the country, to one of the more dependable in the Big 12 this year. The turnaround has just been night and day. What confidence level do you have that TCU can reverse the momentum, play a clean game, and score on the significantly improved BYU defense?
It's
that high, huh?
It kind of like you were saying earlier, I don't want to pass judgment on Josh Hoover. I don't want to make any big proclamations before I see more, until I see him, you know, be the designated star, have a week of practice, have a little bit more time, and see him go up against a defense that's prepared for him. Because that's one kind of benefit that he sort of had coming into that game against Iowa State, was they were prepared for him. So he was able to maybe do some things that he wouldn't have been otherwise been able to do. So my confidence is low just because it's just a lot of unknowns. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of short passes, a lot of quick little dumps out towards the sideline to A, get him confidence, complete some passes, but B, BYU is probably going to be covering a lot of those deep options and basically say, yeah, we'll give you the little 2 yarders, but we're not going to give you a 20 yarder down the field or something like that. So it just, my confidence is low just because I just don't know what TCU is going to do.
If you had to take one thing from this entire TCU team that you've seen so far, one very specific part of the game and change it, what would it be? Let me rephrase that. What one specific thing does TCU have to change to make sure that we're not looking at a 4-8 season?
They have to come out of the second half locker room better. They have to come out of the third quarter and move the ball on offense. Because the defense, at least coming out of halftime, is pulling their weight. And so I think the offense has to come out, even if they don't score in the first drive, move the ball, flip the field position, kill some clock. Like, don't go backwards 6 yards and punt. That, to me, is the biggest thing. If they can change that, if everything else stays the same and they can change how they come out of the locker room on offense, I think that gives them way more opportunities to win some games.
Mine's pretty obvious. Short yardage play calling. That, I think that's the difference between 3-3 and 6-0. I'm not joking about that. I'm not being hyperbolic. Like, it really is. You clean that up and you don't rely on field goals that are getting blocked, and you know, you're not throwing picks inside the 10-yard line and things like that. I really think that this team has a very different demeanor if we're just a little bit smarter about 3rd-and-3, 4th-and-2, 1st-and-goal from the 8. What are we doing on those plays? That's what I need to see, because when you don't score in the red zone, that is a momentum killer. Like, mm-hmm. The whole calculus of the rest of the game changes. So that's what I'd like to see. Okay. Who wins this game, and what is your score prediction if you have one?
I'm going to pick BYU. I know that's not what people listening to this podcast necessarily want to hear, but I'm going to pick BYU. TCU just has a lot of question marks on offense, and the momentum is not going the right way for this team right now. It's not to say they can't beat BYU and kind of figure some things out during this week, but I'm going to pick BYU, and I think I'm going to go 30 to 14.
Wow. So not even a last minute tightly contested game. This is, in your mind, handily BYU.
Yeah. But if it's close, that's not going to surprise me. I have a lot of questions about kind of the direction this team is headed.
Yeah, it's tough not to back TCU at home. You know, home field is a very big thing, but momentum's not headed their way. BYU has the rest advantage. BYU's a more disciplined team, in my opinion, with an improved defense, and a healthy quarterback. BYU 23-17. I really wanted it to be TCU. I really do. But given just the things in front of me, the way this game sets up situationally, I can't pick TCU to win this game, even at home. That's tough. They got at Kansas State, and then they got a very, very much needed bye week.
Yeah.
Okay. Been kind of a bummer of a podcast, hasn't it? it's the point that we're at right now. You know, fans of TCU football are not having fun right now. The people in the building with TCU football are not having a lot of fun. So let's curb our TCU talk and go into our week 7 picks. We're doing okay. We're sitting right around 500. There's been a lot of surprise. I think I've managed to pick all the surprising games because I handpicked these each to kind of keep some local Big 12, some local Texas, some of the more national stuff. But the first game on tap, fascinating game. Iowa State at Cincinnati.
Yeah. I don't want to pick Cincinnati because it's a home game, but man, Iowa State, even they got blown out by Oklahoma, but even that game, they put some things together. They looked good. They've got a ton of momentum coming off the TCU game. So I'm going to go with Iowa State.
Iowa State's offense has been really, really improved over the first two games. They've been averaging 27 points per game versus just 20 total in the first two. But I'm going Cincinnati. Nippert's a very difficult place to play. Very underrated, hard place to play. TCU will find that out one of these days going into Nippert Stadium. It's loud, traps the noise in. The fans are right on top of you. Like, it's a cool place to see a football game. I'll go Cincinnati on that one. Why not? Oregon at Washington.
I think I'm going to go with Washington because it's in Seattle. But this is another one that I think it's going to be just a blast to watch. You have two very high-powered offenses, two quarterbacks that, you know, they're looking as NFL prospects, and they're firing all cylinders. Both sides have some good defensive players as well who can make plays. So I'm going to give Washington the edge just because of the home field.
Yeah, I'm with you. Washington, Husky Stadium, very, very difficult place to play in. I know Oregon's used to it because they have that rivalry, but yeah, give me Washington. I think they have the better quarterback and more dangerous pass catchers. Another marquee game, USC at Notre Dame.
This was a little bit trickier because Notre Dame's did not play well this past weekend against Louisville. USC has struggled the last couple weeks against Colorado and Arizona State.
They almost lost to Arizona.
Yeah.
Triple overtime.
I mean, gosh, I think this is one where I'm going to go with the home team just because they're going to have a little bit more momentum. They will not have the travel and all that kind of stuff. But I do not feel good about this pick just because neither team is really playing at their peak right now.
Yeah. I think another thing that helps Notre Dame for your pick here is there's going to be 30-35 on our wing gusts. And that's a team that can hand the ball off and run the daylights out of it with Audric Estime. But I'm going to go with USC on the road. Notre Dame, their athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, did them absolutely dirty with the scheduling this year. They went to Ireland and came back. And then they had Ohio State at Duke with College Game Day, at Louisville, who's on a tear. And then USC right in a row. No bye weeks. They're playing 11 consecutive games. The team that I saw in the second half against Louisville had no legs. Their offensive line wasn't getting a push. I think that continues into this week. I think this team had the empty light is coming on for the gas here. I'll take USC. And then this fascinating game. This game, I think, defines the landscape of the Mountain West. For you real college football geeks out there, like me and Tori, this is a great game. One of my favorite games of the week. Wyoming at Air Force.
I'm going to pick Wyoming. They have looked really good. They got the win over Tech. They have another non-conference that they – oh, Texas. They look pretty good against Texas, even though they lost. Like, Wyoming has something rolling there. Air Force is always tough. It's always a tough place to play. But I'm going to go with Wyoming here.
I'm going to go with Air Force. We're going to be very right. On this podcast between two of us, we're going to be exceptionally right about at least three of these four games here. Taking opposite. I don't think we disagree this often. I like Air Force at home. Tough team. Runs the daylights out of football. Wyoming, also a tough team. But again, they're on the road. I think they should be ranked right now. The fact that their lone loss on the season is to what was number three Texas, now number nine Texas or whatever they're at. Pretty good. And like you said, they looked pretty good. I think Air Force is the best team in the group of five right now. So I'm going to take Air Force at home. Wow. Other than Washington, we're going head to head today. We almost went head to head on the TCU game too, because I almost picked TCU. Anyway, that'll do it. Thank you so much for tuning in for another edition of the Killer Frogs College Football Podcast. Find us at killerfrogs.com, on Twitter at Killer Frogs or X or whatever they're calling it these days. I am at Road to CFB, and you can find Tori at ToriCouch_TX and continue the conversation over on Facebook. Are you equally as in the dumps as we are about this game coming up here against a very disciplined BYU team? And if you liked what you heard, please subscribe to us on your podcasting app of choice, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're using these days. Drop us a review, as that's going to be the best way to help us grow and reach new college football fans, Big 12 fans, TCU fans, and BYU fans probably after this podcast. But check back in next week for the next episode of the Killer Frogs College Football Podcast. I am Brett Gibbons. That's Tori Couch, and we'll catch you all next time.